You're listening to The Kylo Show, the podcast where we talk about how to keep your love on no matter what and why whole healthy families are going to save the world. And it starts right now.
Hello and welcome to The Kylo Show. We are here with a really fun series this time and some fun people.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Should we tell them what we're doing?
Please do.
Well, we're going to be talking about singles.
Come on.
And we brought some of the two best good-looking people we know.
Here we go.
To display singleness. Are you ready?
There we go.
This is singleness. My face right
exactly
here.
Exactly it.
That's it.
Why don't you introduce yourself to the people so they know who you are?
Yeah. I'm Sarah. I am 29. I'm originally from Jersey. I work here at Loving on Purpose, and I've been based in Sacramento for 5 years.
Awesome.
That's me. And I'm single.
And you're single.
In case you didn't catch that.
And you're on The Single Show.
I am.
Here we are. My name's Christian from Redding, California. I just came to the Sacramento area maybe about a year ago. And yeah, I've been plugging in. Cool. Happy to be here.
Fun fact, Christian was in Ben's first round of being a youth pastor. He was one of the first, the OG of our junior high crowd. So it's kind of makes me feel slightly old to sit next to you.
Full circle.
Yeah. Welcome to the Kylo Show.
When I first hung out with you, I thought I was going to have to exercise my first aid. You're up in the oak tree with a chainsaw. I thought, oh, this is going to be interesting. You did good, though. You did good.
I told you I'd come down if it got too dangerous.
Yeah. I wasn't sure if you were going to do that before or after it got too dangerous. But yeah. Mm.
Oh, that's fun.
You climbed down. It was awesome.
Yeah. Well, we're going to dive into talking about some different things around singleness and being single. And we brought these two in just to kind of help us navigate because I was never really in the game. Let's be honest. I got married at 18.
Last time you were single, you were a teenager.
I was in high school.
She was a minor.
Yeah. I was single from zero to about 14, and then after that, I was spoken for, so I haven't really embraced singleness. So I'm a professional in relationship stuff, but not necessarily being single and navigating that. And then today's world is a little bit different than when you were single.
A little bit.
Yeah. Well, it's not entirely different. I mean, I remember being single was how much destruction can I shove into my life? So that was my single life.
I think I meant mostly with like technology creeping in as a form
sure.
of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that.
Maybe it's still the same game.
Yeah.
Still the same game.
We had phones, but they were attached to the wall still.
Yeah, you didn't get to bring them with you.
No. They didn't have little winder on the side, though. So that was, I'm younger than that.
Well, that's good. That's mm-hmm. good. That's funny. Wow.
So we say whole healthy families are going to save the world, and we think a lot of that has to do with whole healthy individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're doing a series just about getting a conversation going about really what's it like, you know, what do you like, what do you not like, what are you going to try to keep the same, even going into a marriage, what do you hope changes, stuff like that.
I think when you say whole healthy families are going to save the world and it starts with whole healthy individuals, I've been single for 8 years, so I haven't been in a long-term relationship since then. And I think my singleness at this point has been marked by figuring out who do I want to become? Mm-hmm. Who am I? What is my vision for that? And figuring out, you know, all the practical relational things that I now get to bring into my next relationship of like, how do we communicate? How do we deal with confrontation? How do we deal with conflict? How do I know what I need? What happens when I shut down? What are my triggers in relation to relationships? So things like that. So when I think of I'm actively working on me becoming a whole healthy individual so that I can build a whole healthy family mm-hmm. in the long run.
Awesome.
That sounds good.
So it sounds like it's become Sarah's goal.
Yes.
To be a whole healthy family. Someday.
I would say so.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, having you, we have a couple of singles in our office, but watching you in our office, it's been fun because just the embracing and surrounding yourself around people, I've noticed that. That's, I think, one of the big things. In all the years that Ben and I have been running with either youth ministry or different things like that, we collect a lot of singles. First season was dudes. We've now traded to ladies. I don't know why they can't at the same time and maybe match up and make something great, but working on that, sorry. But I love watching singles kind of latch onto a greater vision and kind of chase after whole healthy families or different people that you admire. But I know, Christian, you've been in our world for a long time, but you and Ben have a long history as far as your relationship. And,
yeah.
And I've seen lately you are tracking him down with more intensity. Why is that?
I think similar to what Sarah said, I mean, I went through a phase of doing life on my own, like, well, being single, but also just like on my own, not really letting other people in. And so the last bit of time, I've just been pursuing similar, just people that I would like to emulate, people that have the results that I want, people that actually are down the road mm-hmm. and can help me go down that same road. Because, going by yourself is fun, but you hit the same roadblocks. Mm. And so it's much easier and much more effective to connect to people that are further down. Mm. And Ben's one of those people. Danny's one of those people. Yeah. You are too, but I typically pull towards them.
Yeah, I'm kicking you out of my house after. get off of it, the video game, whatever that thing's
Come
called.
Come in and eat. Okay, go back outside.
I'll feed you. You guys chop down trees. That's how that works.
Chop up trees. Yeah, we're not chopping them down.
I guess they fell down. Sorry.
They totally fell down. Yeah. So sad. Awesome. Well, what do you say are the life lessons that you've gathered up so far around, you know, who you want to be, what you want to protect about you? Because, when you meet somebody and you start blending your life together, there's an excellent chance that there's certain parts of you that are kind of unnecessary. You know, they just kind of go away. They start, you get some feedback. It depends on who you end up with, but you just get some feedback and you adjust it. But there's some places in you that you're like, no, this isn't adjusting. What are those places?
I think for me, relationship with the Lord is mm-hmm. obviously important. Mm-hmm. Kids, I love kids. I want a lot of kids. Mm. And so.
You come from a herd.
Yeah, I do come from a herd. I do come from a herd. If I have it my way, there will be another herd. So,
herd replacement.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. But I think that the Lord, kids, an openness to grow and learn and lean into the uncomfortable mm-hmm. are probably the biggest non-negotiables for me.
Hmm. So is living outdoor, being in the outdoors and being active in the outdoors, is that a big deal to you?
That's a huge deal for me. Uh-huh. I think land is great. Mm-hmm. I want to having land, putting kids on land.
Well, you're going to need land if you're going to have a herd.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They need some. Yeah, fields to graze.
So let me ask you, this analogy went so far.
Let me ask you a question about your, as a woman, and you say, I want a large family. What in a wife are you looking for other than the fact that she's capable and wants a lot of kids? She didn't specifically say who your partner's going to be like. You just said that she wants babies. So what are you looking for in a woman that wants a big family?
Well, I think loves the Lord mm-hmm. and then willing to, like I said, lean into uncomfortable and like growing and continually growing themselves as well. I mean, I'll be growing myself.
Lots of kids.
That's pretty uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm. Well, also, I mean, I'm in full transparency for going there. It's like, I'm down to adopt. I'm okay with, it's not just we're having all these kids, but I do just care for legacy and building something and changing the world. And I think that changing the world starts with changing your home and raising kids that are strong and have integrity and know how to fall and get back up. Yeah.
Cool. So what are you hanging on to no matter what?
Yeah, I think my process with this has been interesting because I think in general, I've tried to be more open. Like if you would have asked me last year, what are you looking for in a dude? And I would have given you this whole list of attributes, maybe looks, all these things. And now I'm way more settled in what are your core values and what is the where is the place that you're living from. So relationship mm-hmm. with the Lord is extremely important to me. I feel like that's a no-brainer as Christians of like, that's the first thing that you're going to spit out, right? But knowing how I live my life is in total obedience to the Lord. That's why I'm in California. You know, my life has been very mission-based of like, okay, like, Lord, how do I get to serve you in the season? How do I get to honor you? And I'm imagining that that only increases as you get a spouse and a kid of like, how do we all get to do this together? Yeah, I think for me, it just really, it does boil down to core values, being teachable, being ready to grow. You know, we use the word connection a lot around here. And just a couple weeks ago, Britt was talking about a confrontation that her and I had. And she's like, but what makes us stand apart in our relationship is that we both go to war for connection. And I think that is the piece that I really need in a relationship is that when I say I am committed, like I am committed, I will go to war for connection and I need to feel like you are going to be doing the same thing for me.
Yeah.
I hear that both of you are saying that you love the Lord, value the Lord, and the relationship is number one. And you, in different ways, both kind of talked about these core values that you want to see show up so that whatever you're recreating is full and rich of the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. And which I love
that go to war for connection piece, because that's like it's such a deal breaker when people don't carry that in their mm-hmm. repertoire of skill set. You know, like I expected this to be easy. I expected right. you to be an accessory to my life. I was hoping to enrich myself by hooking up with you, and now this has become uncomfortable, and I don't know what to do. Yeah, well, how do you test for that? How do you know if somebody has the commitment to connection that you're looking for?
I think some of that just comes with, as you're in my last relationship, I can honestly say we had no fights until after a year. After a year with somebody, then I guess you start getting uncomfy and you're still like, I don't actually like that one thing that you did mm-hmm. 9 months ago. And now I'm deciding that I don't yeah. want to see it again. But I think some of that is figuring out when you go through conflict, that's the thing that uncovers how committed you are to that connection. What are you willing to do? What are you willing to adjust? Are you willing to hear feedback? And all of those things are coming up when you're walking through hard times, right? So it's like, yeah, mm-hmm. you don't know until you know. And then when when you start having
life fights. Gives you the test and then the lesson. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So fun. Love that. <yeah. laughs> And I think learning how to figure out this is how I show up when I'm in pain. Knowing, like, do you know how to manage yourself? I've worked a lot on learning how to manage me. Do you know how to manage you and figuring out, okay, what is mine? What is yours? What is the dynamic that we get to create together? But again, that all gets uncovered in the test.
In the test. Yeah. That's right. What are you looking for, Christian?
In regards to what?
Going to war to protect the connection. I know that's important to you as well. I just kind of, how are you discovering that, or how would you ever practice that?
I mean, I think Sarah summed it up pretty well, but I think that happens through getting to know each other, through the relationship, through the dating, courting, that mm-hmm. phase. You start to see through spending time with, okay, this is how they react when in stress, in anger, mm-hmm. in fear, in any of those things. And then it's how do we go after connection together? And how do we, cool, what do you need? What do I need? Setting those boundaries. And I think that it's, you can talk about it a bunch, but it really, you won't see it and or experience it until you're actually going through it.
Mm-hmm. Until you get disconnected, yeah. you don't have to practice
totally.
Getting yeah. reconnected. Mm-hmm.
I think that's the hard part with in the early stage of dating, like you're saying, it's unless you put them in a stressful situation that would maybe escalate that potentially showing up sooner. I think I heard about your Lost Coast backpacking trip just recently. Maybe that would have been a good one that they a bubble burst for stress. But I think this space of being willing to be patient to discover when tension's going to happen, because like you said, you didn't fight for a year. I don't know that you're usually starting out fighting or having disagreements or disconnection early on in the relationship.
It's kind of the opposite. It's like you're tiptoeing around, trying to act like you're the most accommodating human that this person's ever met, and they're doing the same thing, which is this, you know, it's basically we're just lying our faces off to each other.
Exactly. And so that's probably a hard part for me, is when I know you're so ready to, you know, kick it into gear and see, is this the one? Is this the one? And you move too quickly. I've seen people get married and they were like, we've never fought. I'm like, I don't think you actually were patient enough to see what could come out of this. Like you said, it shows up in different situations of stress or how they, you know, maybe that you had a rough introduction to family or a friend member, or you went on. I remember going somewhere with Ben when we were dating and I was stressed out the entire time, but we were newly dating and I'm like, I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to say anything. And 9 months later, I hate. And that's the bummer part is, you know, I don't think it really shows itself until you feel comfortable enough to be yourself. Mm-hmm. And that feels like a process to kind of start to let your guard down. Not that I don't think you're comfortable around them, but it is a shift. My little bit of experience, it is still a shift of, I enjoy being around you. We have a lot of common ground, but now I'm more openly myself.
Yeah. And I think some of that comes with how comfortable are you with yourself? So, and how solid is your identity when you're going into a place of dating? So, like, I think dating in the church can feel so high stakes, and then you mix that with, I'm trying to feel like the most accommodating person and I want to be attractive and I want to be meek and mild and all the things that everyone tells me I should be.
all the stuff that's going away
that's after me.
I get married.
I am a wife material. But on the other side of that, I think I've had that phase of needing to feel like, okay, like I need to show up like this. Whereas now, because I'm a little bit older, I think, again, I feel more solid in who I am. I'm not that I just go out and start fights on purpose, but I'm not afraid to say, okay, like I have a preference and this is what I need here. And this is how I felt when this happened. And this is what it looks like. And, you know, it's super important for me to see how people respond to that. Because again, I'm going to own myself and I know what I need here and I'm going to make adjustments for you. And ultimately I'm going to, you know, I'm a powerful person and I'm going to approach this relationship that way.
You know, I've met some people that I don't know if it's a clinical diagnosis, but I would say, you know, this person is kind of commitment phobic.
Yeah. Mm.
Would either one of you consider yourself to be afraid of making a commitment?
Personally, no.
Yeah.
That doesn't make me scared whatsoever. I think that I am just intentional with who that person is, who my future wife is. But I am not afraid to make that commitment when the time comes.
Mm-hmm. Pull the trigger.
Yeah. But for me, it's just finding her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just get your beaker.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm over here.
I don't think I'm commitment phobic. I think that I have a sussing out period, right?
So it's trust issues?
No, I don't know if I'd say trust issues.
Still high standards.
Yeah, so there are things that I need to see before I am going to tie my life to you, because that is a forever type of thing. And I'm not just going to, you know, if we haven't had a fight, I'm not going to tie my life to you, you know, things like that. So, but I think when it comes to the right person, and then I'm like, yeah, dude, let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
Hey. I think your description of someone that's afraid of commitment, what I've seen them use is they use the Lord as their unhealthy excuse as to, well, it wasn't the universe didn't align, and the lightning bolt didn't strike there where I said, and
the Lord hasn't triggered my personal responsibility.
Exactly.
At this point.
So, I mean, is that something you've experienced, even, you know, on the other end, maybe someone you dated that you're like, wow, this is red flag, or have you run into that even in your own life where you're like, I think I was expecting God to give me a green light in this way and it didn't happen, or I've put that?
Yeah. I mean, my first thought was that I used that excuse when I was a teenager, when I was dating this one dude. I remember I was doing worship and I was like, yeah, I don't think I really like him. And I was like, hey, can we talk outside? Right after I got off stage, and I was like, I just don't feel like the Lord has this for us. 14-year-old Sarah breaking hearts out here.
It's the Lord's fault. It's the Lord's fault.
He said no. I think that's something that's really, that's specific to the church, that the world doesn't deal with this feeling. Again, the high stakes of like, you go for coffee with somebody and all of a sudden it's like, is this my husband? Oh my God. Yeah, I've definitely felt like there's been some over-spiritualization of it. And I think on the other side, like, I've also had dudes come up to me and be like, the Lord told me that you're my wife. And I was like,
oh, well,
really? He did not tell me that. And I think we, as Christians, we really need to be careful on what we put the Lord's name on.
Christians, stop doing that.
Yeah, I know. Christians, yeah. Man. Yeah.
You get that a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Call me Catholic if that's easier.
Hey, Protestant. Yeah.
Go through the denominations until you find one that feels like it suits you.
Well, in regards to the using the Lord, I mean, I think that that's a bigger question. I think that a lot of people do that just to kind of get away from responsibility. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they do that in relationship. They do that in parenting. They do that in a lot of places. People, I think that's just an excuse. Have I dealt with that? Not so much. I have seen that. And I've also seen the, hey, like,
I saw Sarah do it last week.
No, not even that. No, I've just seen the, like, God said that we're supposed to be married. And I'm like, like, that, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
So,
do you think there's a one sitting out there? There's this one.
There's only one fish for you in God's the big old ocean.
Oh, I feel very passionate about this subject. Yeah. No, okay, because good. It only takes one person to mess this up, and then the math is not mapping anymore. Yeah. And
Sarah knows math. We call her when we have math problems.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. The math.
I am passionate
work.
About math, and the math does not math if one person messes it up. And I think that's one of the things that I grew up in, like, a very 90s Pentecostal church, and I was preached my whole life, like, there's one and you need to find them and that's it, one for everyone. And then I would see these couples around me, like, break up, or after they get married, they get divorced. And I'm like, all the numbers are wrong now. And I feel so much pressure to have to find one. And now it's mixed up. And I've
your one's now a fraction.
Yeah, exactly. Now I only
my
have
one is married 0.25
left. Yeah. Just a lot of stress there. But I think I've also seen people use that as an excuse to uncommit themselves of, like, ultimately they just weren't the one. So no thanks.
Or the one half. Or the one fourth.
Right. And it takes away
1/8.
It takes away the choice. Like, I feel like it creates a space where I don't actually need to be responsible here, because the Lord said that this is the one.
The Lord has my one coming out there somewhere.
That, and then also like, well, I guess I don't actually have to take responsibility here, because this wasn't actually my choice. This was ordained for me and I'm done.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Christian?
Yeah. Is it the same passion?
I don't think that there is the one. I think that it's a choice. You're choosing to do life with somebody. You're choosing to fight through battles with something, with somebody. Mm-hmm. And once again, you figure out who that person is through time of dating and courting and going through relationships and going through situations. And at the end of the day, it's really a choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as long as we're powerful. Mm-hmm. But if you're powerless, then you need to blame it on somebody.
Exactly.
So let's blame it on the Lord. You know, I fell in love. I just fell in love. I knew right away, as soon as I saw you, that you were the one. And then we got married, and you're not. Oh, no, what's happening? I don't feel that feeling anymore. Nothing's happening to me. Nothing's pushing me into this.
I don't have the butterflies anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. And there went my responsibility. Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and take a short break and hear from our good friend Charles about some really great resources.
As a business leader, what if you're doing people development all wrong? See, great leaders know the importance of investing in the human side of their business, but many either don't know where to start or they use traditional approaches that don't really work. Old training approaches like buying everyone a leadership book, bringing in a speaker, or doing a once-a-year offsite might feel good in the moment, but are often a waste of time and money. And that's because when people get back to work, they just slip into their old habits again. You see, personal growth doesn't happen all at once, it happens over time. That's why the new way to develop your people, strengthen your teams, and invest in your culture is to create an ongoing people development system, not a one-time event. But how? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I've got a free gift for business leaders that's going to help. I'm Charles Cowan, founder of the people development company GrowthStream, and we've discovered a simple but powerful four-step system that makes development easy. And we're giving away our secrets in a free training video. In this training, you'll learn how to develop your people in less than 1 hour per month using our simple four-step system. Plus, you'll learn how to do it yourself if you have time, or outsource it if you're busy. So if you're a business owner, HR manager, or leader and want to learn about the new way to develop your people, strengthen your teams, and invest in your culture, then go to growthstreamtraining.com to see the video before it's gone. Again, that's growthstreamtraining.com.
How do you guys, I mean, you're both confident individuals that are, I think every time you come into a room, your strength is felt. I know this from being around both of you. You want to contribute to whatever you're engaged with, whether it's hanging out, having fun, or chopping up trees or making dinner. I mean, I've experienced this from both of you. So your whole life, it doesn't feel like the goal is to get married, from my experience of you. But would you say that's true or not true, and why? Do you feel like you're just trying to get married? Like that's the only goal you have?
I don't think that's the only goal I have, but I think that my goal is to make an impact, have significance. I think that being in a place of being disciple as well as discipling others. But I think that with a family, like having a family is a huge portion of that. Like you can do that, all those things without a family, but a family is that's been a biggest goal of mine for the longest time. I think that is just an attribute of all of those same things, but to the nth degree. I think it just raises those stakes.
Yeah, I don't think it's my only goal in life. I'm a three, so I have a lot of goals all the time.
As a matter of fact, we're wasting a bunch of time right now because that. No, just kidding.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big goal of mine. It's one of, and that maybe I would classify that as more of like, this is a dream that I've had for so long, is to be a wife and to be a mom and to have a family. But I think that, again, in this season of me being single, there are things that I'm developing in myself, and there are things that I'm still going after. My mission, my calling, all of those things don't stop, and then it'll resume when I find a life partner. Like, nope, there are things that I'm doing now, and I want to say keep myself busy, but it's not just that I'm keeping myself busy. I am actively doing things.
You're on a mission.
I am on a mission.
Yes. Yeah.
Are there any, because you both grew up in the church, do you feel like there's any kind of lies or restrictions that the church has put on men or women in your singleness that you would like to debunk or confront on this worldwide podcast?
Go ahead.
What do you mean lies are put on in our singleness?
Like just in what's expected of you as a young single man, like what you have to bring or what you feel is true or not true to that. Religious things that get put on you as a single man. I'm just curious.
I don't personally feel a whole bunch of that other than like the pressure of finding the one and doing everything right and doing everything perfect. I'm talking about the Enneagram, I'm a one. And so I do have a big like emphasis, like I want to do things the correct way. I want to do things well. And I think that's something that is put on by the church just in relationship of there's a lot of pressure and kind of high stakes in getting to know somebody. Mm. When I think the world is the other extreme of extremely casual hookup culture. Mm-hmm. But I think somewhere in the middle is where we're supposed, because like, yes, you should be serious. Yes, you should be intentional, but you should still be having fun and still be like learning. And it's a new thing and it is fun. Mm-hmm. And so I think that the only pressure that I've felt is just doing all the things right.
Yeah. I understand you.
Yeah. The ones having a club over here.
Yeah. 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 One corner.
I think as a woman, I mean, I already joked around about being meek and mild. I think I have a more dominant personality. So I think I've felt the pressure to belittle myself in order to attract a man. And I'm like, that's not something that I want to do. I don't know if I feel that pressure anymore now. I think, again, I'm more confident in myself. I think I know what I bring. But I do think there's this emphasis of basically you need to show how you're going to honor a husband now and submit and do all of these things. Do it now so that the men will come to you, because the reason that they're not is because they think that you're going to take over. I'm like, wow, there's a lot of assumptions all in there. So I don't think the church does that intentionally, but I think that we do need to be specific about the language that we're using and the expectations that we're putting on the single people. At our church, I can name like 18 single women right now. And it always feels like there's an abundance of single women in the church. And like, I had a conversation, someone came up to me at church the other day, and she has a great heart. I know she didn't mean this intentionally, but she had said like, "Are you married?" And I was like, "No." She's like, "Are you dating?" And I was like, "You are welcome to find me a date, but I am not dating somebody right now." And then she asked me my age, and I said, "I'm 29. And she said, "Oh, I had my first kid by your age. Like, what are you doing?" And I was like, "What do you mean? What am I doing?" Like, just take care of your single people, guys.
Yeah.
Be kind to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a great point. I like that. Being kind to you. How do we encourage you? Like, what do you need from me specifically? I'll talk for myself. As you know, Ben and I have been married almost 20 years and we got 3 kids and I love having you over. But what helps you in your journey? And what helps you be successful?
Yeah, I think the community piece is huge. Like, I think, like, I've called Brittany and I've had moments of like, not that I've like, I just need to be around a family right now. I just need to be around kids. I need to be around people that, and just not be alone. So my whole family lives in Jersey, so I'm the only person that's here. So I'm a single woman and I also have no family around. So being connected to people and doing life with them and feeling like you are intentionally inviting me in has been huge for me. And I also get to watch how you guys do family and your family culture. And I remember I was like having a really tearful conversation with Brittany of like, how do I have a family like yours one day? How do I have this relationship with your kids? Like, what? How do I do this? Like, what you have, like, I want to grow up to be that and to see that modeled so well, like, and to be connected to people in that. That has been huge for me.
I did not ask you this question to make either one of us cry.
I was wondering if you guys are going to get through this whole thing without crying.
But it's such a gift to be included there. And I think if you are married, if there's anything that I would say that the single people need is to feel like they are being invited into that place because they don't have that.
Mm-hmm. So more Mario Kart is what you need.
Yep, Mario Kart dinners. I won't be climbing trees, but, you know.
More algebra. Chickens. More algebra.
More math.
Yeah, more math.
Here for the algebra.
Math tutoring.
No, I'd completely agree is that community is huge. And so for singles, we don't have the family dynamic. And so being invited into other families is huge because one, you learn a bunch, but two, you just have that. I mean, I grew up in a huge family as well, so I'm always around. I've always been around people. So being in a new environment where I don't have a lot of family here, the biggest thing or just most helpful like thing for me is being invited into family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, Ben and I have been around a lot of singles that have come through our doors, and I don't know. I always think, I don't know if I'm helping you, but I'm welcome to put a plate down.
You just keep showing up.
You do, you know? And that's always, for me, my big thing in all the years that Ben and I have been married and having people come through that are single is, as long as you're working on yourself, you're open to feedback, and you're pleasant to be around, I'm happy to keep my door open. And I think that that's, you know, I would assume in the dating world, that's what people are looking for as well, to be around you, is that you're actively growing and pursuing health. And you're fun. You know, you come over and you're an Eeyore. Well, I don't have very many Eeyores. I don't have very many donkeys at my house. So I'm like, time to go.
Got some goats.
We have some goats.
No donkeys.
No donkeys. But, I think for us as a family, those are fun singles to have around. And I don't know how many times is our oldest Delaney, you know, just I love her being around someone that's embracing being single and doing it well. And what to look for. And I think those are beautiful things also. So you do contribute to our family as well and in bringing a whole healthy person in so that we feel safe to say, okay, you could ask that person for help. I mm-hmm. trust them.
Well, I don't think there's any pressure on you or on the family. It's literally just being a part of and mm-hmm. being a part of those meals, those conversations, those chores, those whatever it is, just being a part of family. Like I don't, mm-hmm. there's no pressure on you to be anything for us other than friends and family.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think the invitation to mm-hmm. the conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to switch topics here just because I think in the culture that you guys are in, I mean, it's almost like dating is how you end up in bed. Like, you know, you meet somebody, you like each other, next move is you're in bed. So the relationship starts with sex. And then it just kind of rides on that for a while until you start getting to some other stuff. Whereas you guys are starting with some pretty high standards, characteristics, conversations, skills, interests, companionship. You know, you're doing a whole bunch of stuff up front. And then on the other side of a covenant commitment, you'll introduce the sexual part. Kind of maybe just say how do you value that conversation or that part of a relationship when it's way up here instead of right up front? Because so many people are thinking, oh, you kick the tires, man. You don't buy the cow. You just get some milk. You know, what are we doing here? You know, you get the milk for free. Why buy the cow? I mean, talk a little bit about that. That feels like the elephant in the room for me with singles that are putting character and standards in the front and then actually honoring a sexual union.
I heard a podcast one time where it was talking through what sex is like on the other side of having had those conversations and even just the physical boundaries of it. And I'm not going to sit here and be like, this is the things that you should do in order to save yourself from marriage. Like, I don't feel like that's very helpful right now. But it was a husband and wife, and they were talking about how because even though they were Christians, you know, they didn't have sex, but there were certain physical things that they did not honor within each other that showed up in their marriage. Now they're on the other side. You're clear, you can have sex now, but now there was an insecurity piece that they had to work through because I didn't actually feel like you protected me here. Because we didn't protect this thing, it's not just about the physical piece, but it's about what other pieces of my life, what other pieces of my heart are you not going to protect because we did not do this very well. Mm-hmm. So for me, the character, the interest, all of those things are, that's going to be reflected on the other side of marriage and it's going to be emphasized even more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So excellent. You know, we knew this was valuable. Mm-hmm. This was a great opportunity to feel protected. And I participated, but I feel vulnerable. I feel exposed. Mm-hmm. I'm not feeling your strength there. And that's going to show up in finance. It's going to show up in in-laws. It's going to show up in friends. It's going to show up in work. It's going to show up with the kids. It's going to show up everywhere, for sure.
Well, I think that going into like sexual desires, those things, I think that is an easy or like a shortcut to connection. And it's not true connection. It's not like really solid, safe, like all those things connection, but it is connection still. And so I think that when you have all of those like actual conversations on the front end and figuring out character, figuring out how you deal with stress, fear, anxiety, those things when you're going through a relationship, there's no like easy cop out. It's you're having the harder conversations, figuring out how to do those things without jumping into easy connection. And then when you've protected all those things and figured those things out, you get married, then there's a much safer and just successful ground to then welcome that area in, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I've done a message called 90-10 forever, and I think that, you know, the man is kind of, in general, we'll just go generalities here, but men are classically driven for the physical reward around connection, like, which is why I think that if the man doesn't offer to control himself and what it is that he is rewarded with early on, then it's a trap, because he's going to jump right into it and she is going to meet him there because she's 90% driven by the emotional connection. And so a physical connection leads to an emotional. The problem is that the bar has been so significantly lowered, mm-hmm. on what's expected from the man to contribute to the emotional connection. That's why if you front load this thing with a man's demonstration of his ability to make an emotional soul tie with a woman, you now have both exercised some strengths that you wouldn't otherwise, and she learned a ton about you, and she raised the bar and said, hey, buddy, there's this much respect required in this relationship before we're moving over to, where we're headed here, you know? And so it's like, yeah, and he requires that of himself, mm-hmm. and he has demonstrated it. So if he can woo her, then it should actually lead to that. If he can't, then we have a disconnect, mm-hmm. and he needs to grow.
And way better to find that out sooner than later.
Yeah, and it's just tragic. You know, Sherry and I both had multiple sexual partners before we got married, and it was like, for me, it was like, oh, you know what we should do? We should just go to bed. That really kind of gets rid of all this tension and all this all this craziness we got going on. You know what we could do? And it forced me to draw on other skills and other parts of me that I just didn't know I wasn't very strong at. Yeah, you know? Totally. And we still had an epic short engagement and all that, but it was right in my face. I remember.
Yeah, no,
I have that good of a memory. I can think that far back.
That's good.
40 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, Ben and I were the rare breed that were able to wait through our teenage years, because I was 19 when we got married. 18, I was 18. Yeah.
And your boyfriend was in Australia, which is awesome.
He was with me for a solid last year and a half.
All right. You get some credit.
We had some time, meaning that there was possibilities. But it is it's true. I mean, Ben being long distance did require us to talk more than we could do anything physical. But then when we were in front of each other, it was like the true test of, did all that talking actually work? Do we have high value for each other when we're in? Because you're finally able to touch them, you're like, oh my God.
Well, that felt good.
What just happened, you know?
Right.
And so
I would say that was a pretty big breakdown in my last relationship, is that we would depend so much on the physical things. And it's like, this is a great distraction from arguing with you.
Yeah.
When I'm making out with you, I don't think about how much you annoy me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Totally.
And then you take the things away and it's like, this is interesting.
Yeah.
And you can do a lot of things without having sex. So I think any type of physical distraction needs to go in that category of what are you prioritizing? Mm.
It's true. So you're both single right now. Do you have a plan for if you were to introduce, let's say, you go to the pickleball courts and you meet somebody and all of a sudden you're hanging out with them more and more and more and all of a sudden you're dating – who are you going to bring them around to see if they stand up to what you say that you've communicated on this podcast is there? Like, who are you going to expose them to that's going to help you? Because you're, whether you want to admit it or not, you're going to be in a little bit of la-las.
It's true.
I mean, I know that you may think you're tougher than that, but it's hard. It's
hard. Brittany's looking at me, Sarah.
I know.
Both of you. So, like, who is it that you're going to kind of expose them to help put this proof in the pudding?
I think the people that are around us. I think that, like, my family, when they're around, introducing them to my family as well, introducing them to you guys, bringing them around church, the people that, the connections we've made through there.
Leah will be a good filter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Leah as well. Exactly. Just bringing them around anybody that we have connection with, anybody that knows us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, my first response is everyone, because I think so much of my last relationship, it felt like there were these hidden pieces. And mm-hmm. I think I lived so defensively that I was like not willing to receive feedback at all. We were totally isolated. Now I'm on the other side of it of like, I tell everyone everything because I want you to
look at this.
Yeah. My dating apps and I'm showing everybody in the office, look at this conversation we had. Look at these pictures that we're sending each other. I do that, which is funny. But I need the people around me that are holding me accountable to, this is who I say that I want to be. Mm-hmm. This is who I'm saying, this is who I'm committing myself of, this is what I want to become. Hold me accountable to that. Mm-hmm. So when I'm in la la land for whatever reason, ask me those hard questions. Have that place in my life. I need that feedback and I need to hear it from people that I've built relationship with mm-hmm. when I was in that space of singleness. Funny story, we're talking about dating apps. Christian crashed my last dating app date that just so happened to be on the pickleball court.
She says that, but there was like 30 other people there. Right. So I'm like, I'm always the one singled out.
So the 30
she
other
just
people.
Knows you the best, that's it.
The 30 other people, it was funny because I met this guy on a dating app and we're talking about pickleball. I invite him to come play pickleball. I know that one friend knows that this is happening and I said, okay, like this will be cool.
Is she in this room?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I knew like pickleball is a sport you play with other people and you like kind of, you know, cycle in. So I knew that a lot of the retired folks that I was going to be with, they were going to be there. And he gets here and all of a sudden Christian shows up. I didn't know Christian was coming. I have a dad in my life that shows up. I have three other people that are like good friends of mine. All these people show up. They didn't know that this mm-hmm. guy was coming.
But I did. I got the heads up, but I was also invited.
Okay.
I wasn't there for that. She said, hey, go play pickleball. This is happening.
I thought Sweet. You didn't know. Okay. Now I know more details.
Crash.
He wanted to come and suss it out too. Anyway, so all these people show up and I'm immediately feeling so overwhelmed of like, oh my gosh, I have my whole life right here and there's this dude. It's going to be so overwhelming to him. And that initial like stress, as the time went on, I was like, I am so thankful. Look at all these people that even though they didn't intentionally show up, look how they're showing up for me right now. They're engaging with him. They're having these conversations. They're saying, you know, they're doing their side talks of like, hey, what do we think? I know Christian on the side was like, hey, guys, what do we think? What is the verdict on this guy? But I've just been...
How's your paddle?
Yeah. I walked away so thankful of like, wow, look at all these people that cares so much about me to want to show up in this way and to want to interact with this person to see if this would be a good fit.
And they all know what a giant decision this is, you know?
For
nobody
sure.
wants you to be hung out to dry.
Yeah, no one wants failure for you in this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Awesome.
Well, thanks for putting your life on display for the world to see.
Yes, great conversation.
Are we leaving phone numbers at all or email addresses?
No, I told kidding. Christian he needs to go on Instagram, like activate his Instagram again so people can slide into his DMs.
Yeah, I've been off the social media train for a while. I don't know, maybe.
So you need to go to the Serples property and look for him in the trees if you want to find him. He's the one with the chainsaw in the oak tree.
That's it. Yeah. Sarah's not out there. She's in the kitchen.
Nope, yep.
She's
yeah. like a true woman. Let me stop.
Cooking. Oh, man. No, it's not a dating show. We didn't bring them on here for this reason. And if you did DM us, just know you'll have to go through me to get any further. So, and I'm really nice on here. But I care deeply about these people at this table. So just warning you. But we are so happy that you were on the show. And I think, if anything, it's just encouraging because you are people that we've highlighted as healthy and doing it well. The closeness that you are to our life, we get to see different fruit. And so we just want to put that on display for others. So thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. It was an honor to be here.
Yep. Thanks for doing this.
Mm-hmm. Learning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Well, we will see you next time on The Kylo Show.
Thanks for listening. Never miss an episode of The Kylo Show by subscribing to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch us on the Loving on Purpose YouTube channel. Don't forget to submit your questions and testimonies to thekyloshow.com. The Kylo Show is produced by Ali Armading, co-produced by Ashley Beck and Anna Hill, sound engineer and edited by Taylor Silk, and show promoter Christian Zamora. Don't forget, whole healthy families, gonna save the world.